אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
We're reading from the writings of Rabash. You can find the article in English in the book Rabash the Social Writings, page 12, article concerning love of friends. As always, you can ask questions on kav.tv, relevant questions to the study material will be aired during the lesson. Again, page 12 in the Social Writings of Rabash, concerning love of friends. 1. The need for love of friends. 2. What is the reason I chose specifically these friends? And why have the friends chosen me? 3. Should each of the friends disclose his love for the society, or is it enough to feel love in one's heart and practice love of friends in concealment, and thus not need to openly show what's in his heart? It is known that being humble is a great thing, but we can also say the opposite, that one must disclose the love in his heart towards the friends, since by revealing it, he evokes his friends' hearts towards the friends, so they too would feel that each of them is practicing love of friends. The benefit from that is that in this manner one gains strength to practice love of friends more forcefully, since every person's force of love is integrated in each other's. It turns out that where a person has one measure of strength to practice love of friends, if the group consists of 10 members, then he is integrated with 10 forces of the need who understand that it is necessary to engage in love of friends. However, if each of them does not show the society that he is practicing love of friends, then one lacks the force of the group.
מטעם שמאוד קשה לדון את חברו לכך זכות. וכל אחד חושב על עצמו שהוא הצדיק.
This is so because it is very hard to judge one's friend favorably. Each one thinks that he is righteous and that only he engages in love of friends. In that state, one has very little strength to practice love of friends. Thus, this work specifically should be public and not concealed. But one must always remind oneself of the purpose of the society, otherwise the body tends to blur the goal, since the body always cares for its own benefit. We must remember that the society was established solely on the basis of achieving love of others, and that this would be the springboard for the love of God. This is achieved specifically by saying that one needs a society to be able to give to one's friend without any reward. In other words, he does not need a society, so the society would give him assistance and gifts, which would make the body's vessels of reception content. Such a society is built on self-love and prompts only the development of his vessels of reception, as now he sees an opportunity to gain more possessions by his friend, assisting him to obtain corporeal possessions. Instead, we must remember that the society was established on the basis of love of others. So each member would receive from the group the love of others and hatred of himself. And seeing that his friend is straining to annul his self and to love of others would cause everyone to be integrated in their friend's intentions. Thus, if the society is made of 10 members, for example, each will have 10 forces practicing self-annulment, hatred of self, and love of others. Otherwise, one remains with but a single force of love of others, since he does not see that the friends are practicing it, since the friends are practicing love of others in concealment. Moreover, the friends make him lose his strength of desire to walk the path of loving others. In that state, he learns from their actions and falls into the dominion of self-love. 4. Should everyone know his friend's needs, specifically for each friend, so he would know how he can satisfy them? Or is it enough to practice the love of friends in general?
Sheila.
Questions.
Scott from England is asking, what does it mean to choose the friends? So again, Scott from UK is asking, what does it mean to choose the friends?
To choose the friends, it means that usually a person is constantly strengthening and coming closer to them each and every moment. Choosing, it doesn't mean that I choose you or him and so on out of everyone. It's like it says that he who chooses each time a better environment, that every time I advance. Because in spirituality, we don't exactly understand how the Kabbalists speak in spirituality. We don't look at the bodies. But a person changes all the time. Every time, every day it's a new person, and therefore every day I choose as if a new friend, a new society. Because it changes from moment to moment. A day, it means change. And therefore, I'm all the time advancing because I'm working with them in a way that I'm strengthening the connection between us. And accordingly, every time he who chooses better environment, chooses the friends, that's how it's called. Not that necessarily they physically change. Physically, it's the same faces. But internally, every time it's something else. And whatever we experience, I experience, they experience, it strengthens. And whatever seems to me for the better, for the worse, it comes as disrespect because my evil inclination grows and renews every time. Therefore, I have this new kind of heresy against them, that they're not like this and they're not that. And every time, automatically, I cancel them, and every time I have to evoke myself to love.
Dima from Moscow is asking, how can I appreciate the effort of the friend?
Above reason. I don't see the friend. I see myself. Anyone who blames does it because of his own flaws. I see what I want to see out of my own ego. And so it always seems to me that someone's foolish and someone is lazy and someone is not into things, and someone is spacing out. And when I look at them, I see my inner state. to the extent to which I see and understand them. We don't see the world. We see our projection of the world. And so I have to accept it to begin with, that I'm in the world of Ein Sof, and everything is undergoing correction and is corrected, and all of the corrections that I have to go, that have to be done, are upon me. It's me who has to be corrected, and it says that there's nothing new under the sun, and that I ever see an ever-changing world is because I'm changing, and the same with the friends and the group, that there's nothing here that can change but me. And that's it. And it's hard for us to talk that way, but it's the truth. In order to explain these things, Kabbalists, they don't explain it out of a person, but they nonetheless explain it like the world is used to, that the world is undergoing a crisis, it's undergoing processes, it undergoes different states. Because this is how the Kabbalists are nonetheless used to explain things, even though it's not convenient for them. It's much more convenient for a Kabbalist to explain things the way he sees it out of himself. He sees the world of Ein Sof and himself and the corruption between him and the world of Ein Sof. It's called helpmate against him, that exists between him and the world, his ego. And therefore, he sees Ein Sof in the form of this world, or suppose degree number 15 on the ladder of the degrees on which he's on. But he can't talk that way toward others, because then he'll all the time be talking about himself. How corrupted he himself is, how the systems inside him, how corrupted they are. He won't be talking from the perspective of correction, but corruption. And therefore, it's not accustomed to speak that way. And therefore, more correctly, we speak the way it is accepted in the world, that the world's corrupted and that we have to connect between us in order to correct ourselves and correct him. It's a kind of style. It's a style of passing on the perception from external to a bit more internal. And you have no choice, because otherwise no one will understand. But the truth is, when it is a person for himself, he has to see that he is in the light of Ein Sof that fills the whole of reality, and only he, with his corrupted vessels, sees the extent of the concealment or revelation, and that determines his degree. Yes.
Alexei from Kazakhstan is asking, how to not be impressed by negative examples of a friend, let's say, when he doesn't come to lessons?
When a friend doesn't come to the lessons, what do we have to do? First of all, on the one hand, we have to justify him, that he didn't come because he got such a burdening of the heart from above that he couldn't overcome it, and by him not coming, I was given the opportunity to help him and correct myself in order to participate in that overcoming. where we divide this work in two. That he, as someone who fell in the battlefield and I have to save him and next time he'll save me, or by helping him I also correct myself. Meaning there is a reciprocal correction here. If we belong to one system, I have to see that it wasn't him who fell. It is I who fell, he and I. And to progress that way, therefore, make all the possible, take any possible action in order to save him. And here it's like in the battlefield. And even more so, because, you know, in nature, there's like, this kind of an animal called lemur, or different such animals. They move from place to place in a big flock, and if they have, like, this pit in front of them, then those that go first, they fill the pit, and the others, they walk over them, they cross over, and they have, and they die there, those in the pit. And they have no doubt that when they're in the group, they have one mind, one goal. So what I want to say is that here you have to work in devotion in order to save the friend, because in a group, you have no difference between the friend and yourself, and eventually this is how we have to relate to it. Up to the point, if we truly see that the friend already dismisses us and he leaves, and then we have to accept it as that he was disconnected from above, that he was given a desire, that he was given a thought to leave, that he has a role in the meantime in that world. Our managers from our new home are asking for 10 people for work. So please, whoever understands that it is worthwhile for him to join the work there, but no more than 10.
No
need for more people. Any other questions? Yes.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, world clean. And of course, the people who are working on the building and taking care of that, and in 20 days it has to be completed. We understand we have to leave here. The question is about the text.
Sorry, I wanted to add about the text. Wait just a moment. We read on the passage before the lesson from Rabash's letter number 37, where he talks about walk modestly, and here he speaks about having to show the friend how in your heart you really care and concern. There are these and there are those. It's like we talked about that lately when we talk about the corrections. Back then, the Kabbalists, they worked humbly. Like it says, walk humbly. But in our times, it's more about publicizing this. You can express these things. Nonetheless, the inner attitude remains an inner attitude. But with respect to the love, the warm attitude toward each other, this is something that we have to express externally. So, please.
Rav, with your permission, how far can I take the scrutiny of seemingly seeing the deficits in the friends and not as my own problem of my relation to the world of Ensof?
אני לא יודע, ישנה נשמה אחת.
I don't know. There is one soul. That soul is me. I see my soul as all of the still, vegetative, animate speaking that exists in my perception in a way that's outside of me. I myself am only the point in the heart, and my ego. My ego resists all those that I see on the outside. The point in my heart is also broken. It's inside my ego. It also actually opposes and resists whoever is on the outside. I have to start working on it, correcting it so that it neutralizes the ego, to rise above the ego, to the point in which that point I have to start adding, annexing, connecting all those on the that seem on the outside as being on the inside, because it's really that's how it is, because love the other as thyself is really, it's the law of correction. And so there are no good or bad here, or like this or like that. No. All of that are my qualities that this is, all of these are the horrific forms in which I see them appearing before me. Accordingly, you can see how cruel you are, and that you're a Nazi, and that you hate everyone, and that you're against this and against that. It's all, it all has to do with man, but with the person himself. It's all me. And therefore, the correction is, like we read about it in Bala Sulam's letter, to see that there are no cruel in the king's palace, that everything's corrected and great, and to see once again that it is all one soul. Therefore, I have to do all that I can in order to add all of the parts to the unity, to the unification, all those parts that are outside of me. And from here comes our obligation to disseminate. It necessitates. There are such periods where you're told, it's forbidden, you can't, you still can't, it's not according to the plan. So there is a prohibition to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah and work in that, and that's how it is. And there are times, as Bala Sulam says, that you're given permission. That there is given permission from the heavens, from above, and you have to publicize them, you have to go forward, and you have no other choice but to bring it to the entire world. And in the meantime, for you to have the strength to do it, you can do it with the friends. What are the friends? It's the Creator who brings to you the different parts of the soul that it seems to you that they're outside of you, but they're together with you. Really, parts of your soul that, on the one hand, they're on the outside, they're separate from you, they're separated from you by your ego that resists them. On the other hand, according to the goal, according to the idea, they're in favor. So you can consider then, if you're with them in order to reach the goal, then you have to give up the ego, or you don't want to give up the ego. So what's more important? Is it the goal that's more important, and then you give up the ego and you connect with them heart to heart? Or Your ego is important, and then the goal, but it has to be clear to you what's the state you're in, what's the choice, and therefore it was given to you like in a laboratory as something very clear that appears before you, and that's how it works. After you can already connect to them, connect with them, want to connect, because you can't connect, but you want to connect together in order to awaken the light that exists in your connection. Because again, we say everything's one soul and I just see it as something corrupted, so I have to see before me one soul and inside it the Creator and the higher light of Ein Sof. And if I'm ready to unite with those same parts of my soul in the annulment of the ego, then we start seeing that the ego is just the force that the Creator has given us on purpose in order for us to overcome it. There is nothing realistic. There is nothing tangible about it, but it's in order to show us, to show ourselves and Him, the extent to which we have the importance of the goal to return to be one soul, and to the extent to which we work on it, we awaken the inner force existing in the one soul called the Creator, meaning everything exists in one place, in one reality. No, that's it. And here, I want to see. I have to see. If some friend is being distanced from me, meaning some friend says that by no means do I want to be with you or with the goal and so on, then there's nothing you can do. But if he agrees, but he simply can't, then I have to put in all my strength into this.
Can there be a state where the ego deludes me in a way that I see, you know, point X, the friend sees Y, and then there's a dispute, and then what can help me is what? Is
the only thing that can help you is only the light.
And what is the role of Rav in that respect, in that scrutiny?
Rav is also that which exists in your soul as the guiding part. It's a part of your soul. He can help you in all the different states in which you're not connected to spirituality.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
We see here that we also learn all the time that we have to show love towards the friends and not any apparent lack of happiness or, well, to always show positivity towards the friends and love.
Right.
And yet we find ourselves in different situations in life, in corporeality, where we need the friends' help or something like that. How do we turn to them in that state without hurting the path? There's many times a difficulty to show your need for something because perhaps the group can help you come out of that without taking them down.
There are many things here, but in principle, if it is a corporeal hardship, and a person is ashamed, then there has to be some kind of a special committee that he turns to, a specific committee. Even before that committee and for the corporeal hardship which he has, before he turns there, that committee has to seek out those states in the group and take care of them. That's their work. And you have to see this as spiritual work, that we have to care for the corporeality of the friends, and we must obligate them to work and run their home economically correctly, make ends meet, and I can't get into this. I can simply explain and show. You already know all the sources where it says about that we have to care for each other's necessities. To arrange these things, these are things that have to do with the corporeal necessity. And the person's inner form, so we see it that if he has the habit of coming to the lesson and work and everything, then okay, but if he falls, and besides, there could also be a group of people that keeps an eye out for these people, and this should also be the concern of each and every one. From here I see, and besides what I see, I feel, it's also feeling, people that are undergoing different states. Now, if it's different states of work, it's possible that a person is in a very bad state. I see that he is unsatisfied, and he also criticizes me and others. It's okay. He should go through it and learn from it. You can't disconnect him from the state itself, but the main thing is for him to be active in that state. And it is worthwhile for him to undergo these critical states as quickly as possible, because there is nothing tangible about them but to accept them and overcome them, keep on going as quickly as possible, no point in staying in them. So this should be the work of each one of the friends. And also this special committee in the group. Yes.
And if we truly see and feel that a friend is stuck somewhere at a certain point, can we approach him regarding that, or it's...
Sure.
How to address him? What, just directly and come and say this and that, or...
Depends on the friend and what he gets stuck on or stumbles upon. Could be indirectly, could be directly. There are different states. There are different states.
Can we comment to a friend who lowers the group spirit?
That's possible too. But again, it's life. It's so full of nuances, that subtleties, that it's impossible to interpret everything. There are no rules about this. You have to see each case per se. Depends on the group, on the mentality, on the specific friend. Yes, Moti.
Good morning. To me, it's actually depicted in a different way. There's a state when you start feeling the friends, and you don't see bodies. You see that there's a certain environment. One is now studying, the other one is building a wall, and the other one's doing dissemination and so forth. And you see that these are many different pieces that are all working for you, which is, to me, amazing. And it becomes more and more lucid to a certain extent. The question is this: when a person feels that, what does he need to do? Does he need to go to the friend and explain to him what he feels? Is that a corruption? Or on the other hand, he needs to go and tell him, listen, I feel this, that. It's some inner scrutiny. The question is whether it's okay to put it out there or not, and to what extent to speak to the friend. Because if you feel that it's this form of love and everyone's a part of you, so of course it doesn't matter if it's my son that came out of me or someone else's son. It doesn't matter if you love everyone on the same level and to the same extent, and you feel that everyone is there for you. So how far do you need to have this, you know, this scrutiny with the friends?
First of all, if you see, if you think, if you really make it a habit of perceiving the world as being in this simple unity, and you see everyone as parts of your soul, and you even treat your enemies that way, and those that are far from you, and also those close to you, it is the right perspective. But the question is how to nonetheless form the right attitude, behavior toward them. We're not talking about your inner perception, but about your behavior. And behavior, it means that you immediately jump from your inner spiritual world to this world. How do you behave? So accordingly, you behave like in this world. And here's the problem. I don't want to touch it because it's already, it's a bit more complicated. If you talk about the group, there you can relate like in corporeality and like in spirituality, and sometimes more like this or more like that, and accordingly you determine the state. Whereas in the corporeal world, you have to behave like the corporeal, like the external world behaves. You have to understand that all of the forms of behavior in the external world, it is the Creator that decided, that determined that this is how it comes to these broken kelim, and then you don't get into them besides dissemination. Besides the dissemination, it's forbidden for you to determine anything in the external world, because really nothing can help one but to bring the source of the light closer to him. And truly that comes through dissemination. Suppose I'll give you the whole Bank of America now, or all the army of all the countries, or something else. And people that are wise in politics and economics, and I'll simply tell you that it will prolong the crisis and nothing else, meaning it will reveal the corruption, the existing corruption more and more. That has to be corrected. But why engage in this? I have to engage in the correction. The correction is in bringing the light closer. And therefore, there's nothing in this world besides dissemination from what's supposed to be in order to benefit him. Now, if I'm in a group, then there are the laws of conduct in a group. If you bring up some concrete question, then I can ask, but in generality, I can't. I myself think that seeing the whole of reality as one soul, and that it is all outside of me, and I differ from it by the ego, and that here I have just but a point from that soul, and it is also corrupted because it also exists inside my ego. That is the perspective that leads you to truth.
The issue is regarding, well, we have two roles. At the moment, I'm only talking about the group, not beyond the group. Because there's sometimes some of you there that in the feeling you get is that you want to keep it. You don't want it to let it out. When you go out of the group, it's a different thing that maybe requires analysis as well. But towards the group, I feel, if you feel exactly what I described before, the question is this. There are two steps here. I have to see them as corrected, and they also have to see me as corrected in their eyes, as I understand it. And then there's a general connection here. I see the world corrected, and those parts of the soul that I relate to are supposed to see me as corrected. So if I feel corrected, even for just a moment, how do I communicate this to them? So your question is this. When I look at reality, I see that reality is broken on the one hand. On the other hand, the whole of reality is my soul. So what do I need to do? Correct myself. By that I'll see the corrected reality. Right. But in correcting myself and seeing that everything is corrected, there's work that divides to two. I correct my relation to them, and I correct them, their relation to me, because in the meantime I see them outside of me, and that's why the correction is divided to two. That's why we have dissemination. Otherwise, why do I need dissemination? I'll just correct myself, and that's it. I'll sit in the corner. I don't have any groups or friends or anything. I'll just sit with myself and correct myself. Okay, so in order to correct myself, the Creator sends me friends, meaning parts of my soul that agree with the path and so forth. Okay, I accepted them. What else? In order to correct myself, I need the world. Because I have to do certain actions towards the world, and that's how I do the same correction. So I'm saying that it's the same work that is divided to different manners, but in fact, you're correcting yourself. When you go out to broad publics and doing integral education and so forth, you're actually correcting your own soul. None of them is foreign. And so the Creator is one, the vessel is one. And who here we understand why they always talk about love thy friend and so forth and other such sayings. Because in the end, that's how we need to be directed. That's why it is very helpful to see the whole of reality as one kli, one light. And that is what is up to me to correct. The whole world is to serve me, as it is said. And in the end, it turns out to be my soul. And that's another question. If everything is mine and it's all me, so who are the others who now seem to me as people or still vegetative, animate levels? Do they exist or don't they? And so they're just like puppets that seem alive to me, and so that I'll practice myself and practice and my correction and correct my root point through that? Yes, it is so. That correcting my root point and the whole world is to serve me. But sometimes you feel like it's unfair. It's called unfair, sure, but every one of us feels the same towards the others. Look, there's such an observation that we have at this moment that is incomplete. It's a split in our perception. We can't see how opposite things connect. It's a problem in our perception. But in the meantime, it's like that. Afterwards, it'll come to balance. It'll fall into place. Yeah. Good morning, Rav. We spoke before about the joyfulness towards the friends and the study. And let's say I know how to do something that makes the friends happy. But when I do that, I receive disregard from the friends. Should I continue to do that or leave it alone? There is a certain limit to what extent I should or shouldn't. Perhaps I try to make the friends happier and they joyfully accept me and we're all happy together, of course, about the goal. We're not just happy for other reasons. That's one option. The other is that I try to make them happy, and I, for some reason, don't feel that like they're helping me, helping it happen or answering me. So I need to examine what is the reason. It's just a question whether I can look at it correctly, but I should try to scrutinize it. They could be right, they could be wrong, but in any case, I have to connect it to them and the Creator. Always, Israel, the light and the Creator as one. The Creator sets up the situation that I see. It doesn't mean that I eliminate them and then I only have my engagement with the Creator and there are just puppets on the way. Rather, I accept them as personal characters or personalities, and there's the Creator that appears through them. So I do need to see how to behave with the Creator, but through them. I have to order my relations with them so that the Creator will be revealed. The Creator is revealed in the group. So there's work here on different levels, but you have to check why does it happen, both from the Creator's side and from the side of the group. Why do they reject you? Maybe one time I did something wrong to them, and then I try to smile at them, and they don't smile back. This is like a little kid, you know? They don't remember from one moment to the other what happened, because they develop fast. To us, it seems like they just forgot or something. They just cry, and now they laugh, and the other way around, and we think it's just silliness, but it isn't. The changes they go through are fast. For us, it can take a day or half a day or a week until we move from laughter to tears. And their will to receive are growing faster, and therefore they change faster. So you have to awaken them, but why won't you ask? You need to ask. Maybe they'll tell you, listen, you didn't do what we wanted at some point, and something like that. So then you'll ask them, please help me correct myself, and don't reject me, and what, they just don't want you for no reason? Maybe there is a reason. Maybe you can't see it on yourself, but they did. Otherwise what, they just reject you for no reason? I'm saying I'm not leaving them, I'm still with them, but the specific thing that I wanted to do to make them happy, should I leave that alone, or... No, to leave it? No, if you won't be connected with the friends, how will you advance? But maybe because you don't exactly understand or speak in a way that they understand. It happened to me before, and it still happens to me today many times, so perhaps that is why there could be a miscommunication. I don't know. You have to scrutinize it. But the scrutiny is a must. I don't think that there has to be a reason. There needs to be some reason. And the reason could be the lack of language. You should start speaking Hebrew at home and in every place. My mother came to Israel when she was about 60, I think. I don't know, 5 years before her pension. Anyways, she came here. I bought her a TV. She turned it on, the Hebrew channel, not Russian or anything, and she constantly heard the language. In 6 months, she was working in Kaplan Hospital. In 4 years, she got the diploma of an excellent doctor in Israel, and then went out to pension. In 5 years, she was both knowing the language and studying with and working with people and everything. And it's just a desire. I'm telling you, seriously. I'm lazy. I don't have her characteristics. You feel that way as well? Okay, give him the microphone. Another guy will now cry that the group doesn't want him.
Now I have another question about what it says here. It says that I hate myself twice, it says here in the text.
Where? Okay, so what? So ask, and then we'll see.
So what does it mean? I understand that we're working without touching the ego, we're developing above it, meaning with all these things of the...
But I need to hate my ego or not?
But I hate myself, in essence. What?
This, where does it say what he says? The hatred of self and love of others. So, yeah. So should I hate my nature or not?
This is how I have to hate myself.
I don't know what you call self. The ego I need to hate. It. The thing that prevents me from reaching the goal.
How am I supposed to understand this if it says it this way? I don't understand this from what it says here. It's not clear enough for me.
Say I have a certain weakness. Weakness of character. You know, let's say I love smoking, but the doctors tell me you gotta stop. And let's say I do have to stop, but I can't. So I should hate my habit and weak character that I can't stop smoking. And if I'll hate it, then I'll detach from it, because hatred detaches you from something, and then I'll stop. And that's it. There's either hatred or love. There's nothing more in our world towards something or someone. When I look at a wall, at this wall, I either love it or hate it. I'm telling you, seriously, that's how we weigh each and everything.
Yeah, but suppose I tried out religion in the past and things that really helped me. Now, for instance, I want to stop smoking, but I can't, and I understand that it's harmful for me, for others, but it doesn't work.
True. And it's because you haven't reached the sufficient hatred.
How do you come to that?
By persuasion, by seeing all kinds of bad examples, by having the friends tell you that in every direction, you have to gather these negative impressions, and then you'll hate that tendency so much that you won't be able to hold on to it. There's nothing else. Nothing else. See what happens with women. Today there is such a fashion that in which a woman who weighs less than the other is called more pretty. I don't know. This is what they do. And look at how how it occupies them, the opinion of the public, and how much they engage in this preoccupation, and the different Weight Watchers and commercials, and it's madness. Look how they convince themselves about it. And it's against the desire. It's only afterwards that it becomes a habit to eat less and so forth. But you see, it's possible. There's a powerful society and social opinion and social proof, and that's why it works, and you see that 99% of the young women are holding on to that. How will we reach a state where 99% of the population, from 99% of the public, will want the goal? Our goal, of course. Not that, obviously. So it requires, you know, overcoming. But they do. They do it. It's an example, because there is no broader opinion in the world today, perhaps, than being thin equals being pretty. That's among women, I'm saying. Among men, it's different. They're lazy about it. And I looked for some other example, but this is really a force working here. Look how much power of mutual persuasion and how it works throughout the world. What can we learn from that? That our goal will be so popular and powerful. And that is just that is against nature, just as this is. Of course, this corporeal example is that it's in the same nature, being pretty or being not pretty. But we have to learn from that. The Creator doesn't create this example in the world for no reason. Why do you think it happens? It simply conquers the world. Tomorrow, it'll be something else. Some other nonsense. Doesn't matter. But in such a powerful way. You know, I remember a few years ago, everyone used to walk with these... How do you call it? You know, a scarf that you put on in a certain specific way. Why? You know, just everyone walked that way. That's it. The world is like a, dummy. That's it. After a few months, it stopped. It's the power of the public. I'm not laughing at it. I'm just laughing at how it's possible to pull people in every direction. But you see, it's the power of the public, and then that's it. Everyone has to go that way. And if you don't, it's like you're not sympathizing with everyone. You're demonstrating something opposite. It's not nice. It's not good. It's like you don't respect yourself, you know. And a person needs to be liked by society. Where are these forces at work with us? This is not a joke. We have to work on that. Where are our advertising people? Well, let's hope we'll know how to work on it. For now, we'll move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part.